Well, hello everybody and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you listening to the sound of my voice and wish you all peace, love, and happiness. Good God Almighty, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now. And that's actually what I want to talk about in the first part of this podcast. So I allowed myself to be drawn into another Facebook argument, right? And I don't even remember what we were talking about. Oh, it was an argument that started about the comparison between the murder of George Floyd and the murder of, I forgot the little kid's name, the five-year-old kid that was shot by the guy. And people were complaining that there wasn't any media outreach or any outrage or any protests or anything like that. If you're not in the know, there was the murder of a small child, five-year-old child. He was riding a bike, and apparently his neighbor just came outside and shot him. I don't know. We still don't know the entire story, the entire situation. But the guy that shot him was a black male, and the little kid that died was a little white kid, and he was arrested. He's in jail. And I vocally have said that I believe he should get the harshest penalty that he should get, right? But there are people on social media that were saying that, you know, George Floyd is a convicted felon, a drug user. He was resisting arrest, and he gets all these parades and seven different funerals and all of this. So, people are saying, what does Connor get? I think his name is Connor. What does Connor get? People don't think that there's enough outrage on social media or outrage in the streets. So that's what the original argument was. But then the person I was talking to was going on about income inequalities and Black Lives Matter being a politically targeted movement towards the president. And I mean, it was just like so much going on, and it got me thinking. For people that are like really deep into conspiracy theories, I mean, you're all up into Illuminati and the George Soros and the Rothschild family, and a whole bunch of stuff that normal people don't have time to pay attention to. How are you forwarding your progress in life if you're so busy worrying about things that you have no control over? Like if you can, okay, you got George Soros. I guess he's super rich. What does that have to do with you? What does that have to do with the things that you want to get done? What does that have to do with the things that you should be creating to share with the world? You're talking about Illuminati and QAnon and all kinds of other things. And I'm like, if your attention is spread that thin, that you got your head on the swivel and you're worrying about all of these other things, how in the world can you focus on anything that you are trying to do? Like, who knows what amazing gifts and talents that you're supposed to be unleashing on the world, but you're so busy worrying about all of these conspiracy theories that were unfounded, by the way. Like, I mean, we don't know the truth. We're probably never going to know the truth. But for me, I've got a family that I'm trying to raise. I've got a son that I'm trying to teach how to be an upstanding young man, navigating this situation that we're in, like this country. Like, he's a young black male. I have to teach him how to be mindful, how to react, how not to let your anger get the better of you, because there are certain situations where you can get angry and you'll get killed. You know, that type of thing. Those are the things that I'm worrying about. I'm worrying about, like, my daughter's future, like, where she's going to end up. Like, yeah, she's graduated from college, but I've got the feeling that she's at that stage now where she's thinking, like, what am I going to do now that I've graduated college? Like, it's all this lead up to this moment. Well, the moment has passed. Now I need to go out here and learn how to take care of myself. So she's got her own things that she's struggling with. My son is struggling with things. I'm worrying about being a husband. I'm worrying about going to work every day. I'm worrying about getting my own bills paid on top of trying to create all of this stuff, like be on Instagram and furthering my own brand and doing this podcast and things like that. I have no time at all to be worrying about what any other multimillionaire is doing, especially if they're not in my household paying my bills or helping me pay my bills. So, yeah, it's okay to acknowledge that things are not going how you would like for them to go, but to agonize over every little detail about why you can't get ahead and it's somebody else's fault and the Illuminati is keeping you down and the Rothschilds family has all the wealth in the planet, and okay, so that family made their moves, their whatever they corrupt, whatever they, whoever they helped, whoever they stepped on, I mean, that has nothing to do with like us regular everyday people. Now, I'm not saying ignore it. I'm not saying don't be mindful of what's going on around you. I'm just saying for the bigger picture, I do believe that I have more things that are right here in front of me to focus on instead of worrying about some far off distant family that may or may not have influenced the entire global financial situation. You know, that type of thing. And something that I don't have any, even if I do know the truth, there's nothing that I have any control over anyway. So, I mean, that's kind of like when people were totally convinced that, actually, no, it's nothing like that. But conspiracy theories, like, can harm people. Like, they do have negative effects. I'm reminded of the people that thought that the Clintons were running a child sex ring out of a pizza shop in D.C., like down in the basement. And somebody went to that pizza shop and actually shot somebody. And the pizza shop doesn't even have a basement. It was searched. There was nothing there. Like I said, no basement. There were no child sex rings. It was just crazy. Now, do I believe that there's a child sex problem in this country? Child trafficking? Yes, I do believe that there's that type of problem because we hear people talking about it all the time. I'm still surprised somebody like Corey Feldman is still alive because he's been talking about it for years. So, yeah, there is a big problem with big, powerful, rich people in this country being able to do what they want to do with children. And yes, it's disgusting. And yes, it's sick. And I hope they all get caught. But giving into a conspiracy theory, even when it's been proven that there's nothing going on there, I believe that just takes away from your time to unleash your greatness. So I'm not one for conspiracy theories. Like unless it's something that's directly in my circle that I can control, or if it's contributing to my own personal household, then yeah, I don't have time for it. Now, something that going on in politics, yeah, that's affecting us. That's affecting our future money. That's affecting our roads out here being in decent shape. It's affecting the type of jobs. It's affecting the type of information that we can give our children. Like, that has direct impact on us. But some of this other stuff is way out in left field. So, what kind of things do you guys subscribe to, though? I'm really curious. Are there any really deep conspiracy theories that you kind of, even if it's just as a hobby, that you give a little bit of time to, like you investigate it a little bit and, you know, it's kind of always in the back of your mind? Or are you the type of person that's just like, man, I don't have time for this. I can't pay attention to this thing. So, but yeah, that's what I've been doing, getting ready for this Democratic National Convention. I hope the Democrats don't get up and make a fool of themselves. You know, something else on that, too. It seems like people are really eager to try to put people in a box and say you're either Democrat or you're Republican or whatever, whatever. I think I've come to the conclusion that I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican because some of the stances, some of their policies, I agree with both of them. Like, whatever happened to just because that one party says one thing that you don't agree with, but there are like 50 other things that you do agree with, then, like, how does that classify you into a particular boat? You know, talk about a conspiracy theory there is trying to divide people into specific things when we are all complex. We all have different things that we like. Things affect us in different ways. So it is totally possible to be a fan of both. Like, why can't you be conservative and liberal? Like, there are good things on both ends to what is it? There are good people on both sides, to take a line from our idiot in chief. But I don't consider myself a Republican or a Democrat. I consider myself a father, a husband, a brother. I'm a working man. I'm a person trying to make my way in this world. And that does not define that. There's no definition there for Republican or Democrat because, you know, everybody's trying to do that. It's just the way that we think about getting there kind of different. So, but anyway, there's my kind of thought on that. I've never been one to try to classify people into certain things. Like, I mean, that just like that really, really puts a pigeonhole on people to try to just define them. Like, so I'm a fan of Barack Obama, but I did not agree with everything that all of his policies that he came out with. He was a great orator. Great. Or he is. I'm talking like he's passed away. But he is really great at that. Martin Luther King had that same power. Malcolm X had that same power. You know, Representative Lewis had that same power. Like, people could get up and speak and move other people. But I don't think that the man walked on water and everything that he said was, like, biblically godlike or anything like that. I just liked the guy's policies. And I liked that he gave people hope. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where you kind of get into an argument with somebody, and as soon as you bring up a topic like maybe helping somebody else or not trying to separate children from their families, then somebody spits out the line, "Oh, you must be a libtard." Like, what does that mean? How? It seems like the people that are kind of fighting to try to make everything fair and equal, but then people on the other side, they claim that that's what they are trying to do also. So, I mean, politics are a mess, man. Like, it's not even funny. Politics are a mess. But I have voted Democrat probably for as long as I can remember. And I don't have any shame in that. Like, that doesn't put me in a particular box. That just happens to be where my I'm not going to say my own personal policies, but that's where my heart lies. Of course, the word is escaping me right now, the specific word that I'm looking for. But that's kind of where I lean towards. Now, there are some conservative ideas and some conservative, like when John McCain was alive, I liked John McCain. There are some Republicans that I like, and I like their policies. I like their ideas, and I wish we could implement them a lot more. But like I said, that's politics. So I just want people to be, we need a little bit more kindness, man. That's what we need. Instead of screaming at each other on social media, instead of worrying about things that we don't have any control over, if everybody focused on the things that they could actually influence, then I think this whole thing would be a whole bunch better, a whole lot better. So, anyway, let me get off of that political soapbox here. What I want to talk about is actions, actually. It kind of ties into the next section of this podcast. I'm going to take a quick break, and I invite you guys to join me back here. I'm going to tell you a quick story and how you can use that in your life. So give me a couple of minutes. I will be right back. Hey there, podcast listeners. DeCourcy Williams here, and I've got a quick treat for you. Have you ever wanted to start investing your money? Did you ever want to get into the stocks game but didn't know where to get started? Did you want to have some money saved up for that rainy day fund that you've been talking about? Well, let me introduce you to Stash Invest. Stash is the app that you can have right on your mobile device, and it'll allow you to save money incrementally without even thinking about it. You can also invest your money into ETFs and stocks on a weekly, a bi-weekly, or monthly basis. Whether you're saving for retirement or saving for that next big vacation or just building up some cash for that next big purchase, you can be confident that Stash will help you reach your goals. So click the link in the description. You'll get $5 for starting with Stash for free if you click the link, and you'll be on your way to a better financial future. So click the link and let's get stashing. right. Well, thank you, everybody, for sticking with me. Welcome back. And today I want to talk about your actions and how important they are. Let me start by telling you a quick story. I read a story about a successful magazine business owner who has some very humble beginnings. This story was shared with me in one of my motivation tapes that I listen to. Well, not tapes. I can't believe I said tapes. Motivational videos that I watch, you know, as part of my overall personal development that I do on a daily basis. And I heard the story about this guy who was brought up in the Midwest. His father left his mother, and she was struggling. He never did particularly well at school, so nobody really expected anything out of him. But he did promise his mother that he would take the SAT in order to attempt to get into college. So he gets ready, he takes the test, and to his amazement, he scored a 1480 out of 1600. Now, that's right around genius level. And he just figured out, he just figured that he was always really smart. It just took that standardized test to unlock his genius. So he runs back home, he tells his mother, the score that he got on his SAT test. And the first thing that she did was look at him with a strange expression on her face and said, "Did you cheat?" And he was like, "No, I didn't cheat. You know, the Scantron things, like, it's impossible to cheat. I just really applied myself and, you know, I just did the work." So she was elated. His mother was incredibly happy for him. You know, it's kind of winding down his high school years. He was looking at what he was going to be doing for the rest of his life. And this SAT test was kind of a barometer of how things were going to go for him in his mother's eyes. So the next year he goes for his final. He's a senior in high school now. And so he decides that, well, I got a 1480 on my SAT. What do 1480 students do? So then he chose to start acting like a 1480 student. He showed up to class on time. He paid attention. He got his work done. He did his assignments. And with all of that, he also didn't have time to hang out with the same friends that he hung out with last year. So he changed the circle of friends, and he's handing in his assignments on time, and he's paying attention. He's not being a class clown. And his teachers take notice, and his teachers are thinking, well, maybe I missed something with this kid. Let me give him another shot. So his teachers start acting towards him differently. They start treating him differently. So he goes on to graduate from high school, and then he goes to a 2-year college, a community college. Then he goes to Wichita State. And then he goes to an Ivy League school. And then he goes on and owns his own magazine companies. And he's wildly successful. 12 years after all of this happens, he gets a letter from the SAT Review Board in Princeton, New Jersey. They periodically review their scores and their procedures on their tests. And it turns out, the year that he took the SAT, him and 13 others actually were mailed the wrong score. He actually got a 740 on his SAT and not a 1480. So when he tells the story, people always seem to think that his life changed when he got that 1480 on his SAT. But in reality, it changed when he decided to act like a 1480 student. Once that decision was made, it was like a dam overflowing, and it started to flow into other areas of his life. He started to act like an upstanding person. He started to take his work seriously, doing it on time, not hanging out with the same people that he hung out that would get him into trouble. And I'm not talking about he faked it until he made it. He actually became that. And then the results manifested themselves in the physical world. So I tell that story to ask you this. What are some of the ways that, or where is it that you want to be in your life? And how can you start to act differently today than you have been? Can you act like that superstar CEO that you want to be? Can you act like that YouTube creator that you aspire to be like, with all the viewers and making all the money and things like that? If you aspire to have like that marriage that you hear about in songs and see on movies, how are you acting in order to make that come true, in order to make that a reality? So if we all think about how we act, the things that we do on a day-to-day basis, and what it would take for us to be that thing that we emulate. Because I think everybody has an idea of where, you know, they want their life to be, or how much money they should be making, or what kind of relationship they should be in. It goes back to the actions that you are taking. If you want to be that rock star CEO, you got to start acting like it. If you want to be that incredible spouse that has this great marriage that looks good on paper, you got to start acting like it. Contrary to popular belief, there are people that have amazing marriages. It's not all doom and gloom on the marriage side, but it takes work. And it takes both parties acting like they are the people that they want to be married to, that type of thing. So pose that question for you. I heard that incredible story. I wanted to share it with you guys. And, you know, talking about how you act and what it would take for you to act like the person that you want to be. So yeah, man, outside of that, that's what I had for you guys. I just wanted to drop this story for you really quick. It really inspired me when I heard it. And I just wanted to make sure that everybody kind of gets a taste of that. Other than that, man, I'm going to go out and get out of here. Like I said, I'm looking forward to this Democratic convention. And looking forward to actually influencing things that I have control over. I'm going to, I guess, naively in some people's minds, I act like conspiracy theories don't exist because, you know, they're not affecting me. I don't think they're affecting me, you know. I don't believe that whole, in this grand scheme of things, if you look at the macro, you focus on the macro, you miss the micro. It's a line taken from my boy Gary V, who's, you know, shout out to all the resellers, by the way. You know, Gary V is really big. It's to me, it's incredible, like, what he does. Like, he's already a successful business guy. He owns VaynerMedia. He's got clients, multi-million-dollar clients that he provides services for, I guess, with media companies do. But in my brain, they create advertisements or some sort of marketing plan that he puts together. But this guy goes out on Saturdays to yard sales and scoops up some weird finds and then turns around and sells them. This is the same guy that goes out and he's now into the sports card game. So he goes out and buys like basketball cards and he flips them. I mean, could you imagine just being like, you're in your groove so much that you've already got multi-million dollar companies. You've already got private jets. You've already got people kind of waiting on you hand and foot. Your aspiration is to buy the team, the New York Jets, and you still go to yard sales on Saturday mornings and pick up other people's junk and flip it on eBay. Like, man, shout out to all the resellers, man. That's got to be some incredible stuff to get into, especially like on his level. Like, I mean, He has his guys film it. It's on his YouTube channel. It'll be on Instagram or whatever. And they'll follow him into, you know, somebody's garage or whatever, a yard sale, and show him picking up. Like, he's kind of big on mugs, like coffee mugs. And he'll buy them for 50 cents, a dollar, and he'll turn around and sell them for like $10, $15. And, you know, he's all about the education. He doesn't suggest that people just kind of jump in there and just start, you know, going to a garage sale this Saturday and trying to make $15,000 immediately. Like, that's not how it works. But he is all about learning how to do certain things, learning like which items are profitable, which items, you know, stay away from. Now he's influencing everybody to get into the sports card market. And that's something, like, I was collecting sports cards back, like, I have the entire set of the, is it 1990? The 1990 Fleer basketball sets. I think it was like Michael Jordan's, that was his third or fourth year. I think it might have been his third year. But I've got like that entire set of cards. Like, I've got thousands of basketball cards. And I've never actually taken the time to see if any of them are valuable. But, you know, my era was like Michael Jordan. I got Shaquille O'Neal rookies, Alonzo Mourning, and Larry Johnson. I got people like that. So maybe one day I'll take some time and find out if them things are worth anything. But, man, like, if you go on eBay, you see a basketball card selling for like $5,000. Like, I mean, apparently now, you know, you got Zion Williamson. This kid, Luka Doncic, is just like come out of nowhere. His cards are worth like a lot of money. So, I mean, it's all about education from his point of view. Like, educate yourself, go out and have fun. Don't take yourself too seriously. And man, he's killing the game. So, I encourage everybody to go out and act, go out and do it. Like, if you want to be like that, take the steps necessary. Like, it's going to take action. The story that I told you, like, this guy's whole interior tape, his playback changed when he decided to act differently. And that's what I present to you guys here in this episode of the podcast. So I wish you guys to have a happy, happy weekend. Thank you very much for joining me, and I'll see you guys in the next one.